بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue in the chapter of صلاة الجمعة. He said كل من لزمته المكتوبة لزمته الجمعة. We spoke about this last week. Everyone who is obligated to pray the mandatory prayer is obligated to pray صلاة الجمعة. Okay. Then he said, true or not, we spoke about this last week.
Yes.
He said, إن كان مستوطنا ببناء بينه وبين الجامع فرسخ فما دون ذلك. If he is a resident in a permanent dwelling, and if the distance between him and the masjid is one farsakh, 3 miles or less. Now, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he said, everyone was obligated to pray the Salat al-Jama'ah, or Salat al-Maktuba, the obligatory Salat, if you meet the requirements to pray the obligatory Salat, meaning you're not insane, you're not crazy, the person has reached puberty, and so, as we spoke of the prerequisites of Salat, hence, also, he said, rahimahullah, if you are a person who meets these criteria, then it is obligatory on you to pray the Jum'ah. Now he puts condition. He won't give exceptions, but he's going to put conditions. He said, either here is for conditioning. If, that's why it's translated to if. If he is, or كَانَ مُسْتَوْطِنًا بِبِنَا, he lives in buildings. Meaning, whether he live, يعني he is trying to say he lives inside community that is made up of houses, meaning the bad ones who travel a lot in tents, pack up and travel. In those days, these people are not obligated to do Jumu'ah. You have to be mustawtin and bibina. Let's say small town from houses made out of clay, then these people need to pray Jumu'ah. You see? Someone lives, rahmahullah. Then this is a person who needs to pray Jum'ah, because the Prophet ﷺ never ordered the tribes, that is, gypsy tribes or the tribes who are traveling, to pray Jum'ah. Now also, here also it's not obligatory on the one who is working outside the town. Let's say someone went out to work on a mine. And in that mining area, there is no masjid, no salat Jum'ah outside. That person, he is not obligated to pray Jum'ah. And or someone went out to the desert to dig oil and wells of oil away from civilization. This person is not obligated to pray Jum'ah. Also the ones who are in army camps, in the training army camps, far away from civilization, these people also not obligated to pray Jum'ah. Also like the Hurras, the guards on the borders, who work on the borders, let's say his shift is on a Friday, his person is not obligated to pray Jumu'ah. Also the traveler to Bilad al-Kuffar. You went to a city where there is no Muslims, and you're residing there for past the traveling days. Yeah, you're going to reside in a city for over a week. Remember when we said 21 Salat, the Musafir, Tayyib. Let's say you're staying there for 100 Salat, but there is no Muslims, then you're not obligated to do Jum'ah. But if there is Muslims in that diyar, in that land, in that country, then you join their Jum'ah and you do Jum'ah with them. Now, ثُمَّ قَالَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ, he said, and also, if the distance between him and the masjid is one farsakh, which 3 miles or less. 3 miles or less. So here what he's saying, really, if you reflect on it, he's talking about being able to access a masjid. Being able to access a masjid, which is about 5 kilometers. If there is less than that between you and the masjid, then you're not obligated to pray the Jum'ah. Of course, taking Western countries. The book is written for Muslim land. So here, if you live in the Western countries, take places like Australia. I don't know about, because these tapes go overseas also, people listen to it. If you're talking about a country like Australia, everyone lives nearly between him and the masjid, 5 kilometers. We try to all live together next to the masjid, but some of us, at least there is 5 to 10 or 15 kilometers between him and the masjid. So he says, I don't pray Jum'ah. No, you pray Jum'ah. Because the norm today is be able to get to the masjid even if there is 10 kilometers between you and the masjid. But let's just say someone lives or happened that he is in a place like Kaaba. Kaaba between you and the nearest masjid, 500 kilometers or 400 kilometers. Up in the outback. We say then, you basically need to come down and live amongst the Muslims. To migrate, the minor hijrah, small hijrah, to live amongst the Muslims. Why? Because they're your group of the believers you need to be close to. And you can't live your life away from the masajid and the Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ forbade from this secluding yourself away from Muslims. Even if there is a distance of 5 to 10 kilometers, you still need to attend Salat al-Jumu'ah because it becomes wajib on you. But here the Shaykh is talking according to his time. Yani, to get to the masjid, there is a great hardship if there is 5 kilometers. To get to it, there is a hardship. So he said, yani, you have to calculate 5 kilometers and 5 kilometers back, that is what? 10 kilometers. That is hardship for a person to do on a Jumu'ah. But for us, 5 kilometers is 5 minutes in the car. 10 minutes in the car and you're there. So we need to pay attention to this. Then he put an exclusion. إِلَّا الْمَرْأَةِ وَالْعَبْدُ وَالْمُسَافِرُ. Except the woman, the slave, and the traveler. So he, remember in the beginning he said what the Shaykh? He said it is obligatory of everyone who is obligated to pray, which includes woman, traveler, and the slave. He said here those, they do not have to pray Jum'ah. Why? Because the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam collected in Abi Dawood, in the sanad of it is sahih, he said, Al-Jum'ah haqqun wajib ala kulli muslimin fi jama'a illa arba'a, abdun mamlukun, aw imra'ah, aw sabi, aw marid. Here he said, Al-Jum'ah is obligatory upon every Muslim in a jama'a except arba'a, for abd mamluk, an owned abd, a woman, a boy, or a sick. So here, Al-Abd al-Mar'a, of course, al-Mar'a, because she's not obligated to pray in jama'a. So she's not obligated to pray Jumu'ah. Type, if the masjid accommodate for women and there is no fitna for them and they're not going to mingle with men, they want to come, they're welcome. But if it doesn't accommodate for them, they shouldn't be upset and to stay home. Al-Abd, the slave, because his raqaba mashghula, meaning he is what? Mashghul. He is owned. And he is busy by serving his master. Us. If his owner permits him, he can go. But he's not obligated to go, exactly like the woman. When Musafir, the traveler, also the Prophet ﷺ, he never used to pray Friday when he was traveling. Also the hadith, he mentioned the sikh, which is the shaykh, he mentions it afterwards. He said, أَوْ مَطَرٍ أَوْ خَوْفٍ وَإِنْ حَضَرُوهَا أَجْزَأَهُمْ وَلَمْ تَنْعَقِدْ بِهِمْ. He said, وَإِذَا هِيَ, he said, وَالْمَعْذُورُ بِمَرَضٍ أَوْ مَطَرٍ أَوْ خَوْفٍ. And the one who has excuse that he is sick. A sick person does not have to attend Jumu'ah. Especially if you have a very strong flu. Also, Jazakallah khair. With all due respect, stay at home. Don't show us that you're a mujahid and mashallah. You're sitting amongst the people and everyone gets sick. You start sneezing and make us all sick with you. No, stay, and especially in not all the masajid are closed environment and air conditioning is working, it sucks your germs and just pumps it again into all the people and everyone catches your flu. So jazakallah khair, stay home, rest, and then come to Jum'ah when you're better. Aw matarin, of course, the rain. Why? Here, fearing the mud and the tain and the hardship. The tain, yani, but today, alhamdulillah, all this is protected. But it's just, let's just say, a day that is extreme rain and there is a flood and everything, and you decided not to come because, you know, sometimes when it rains heavily in Sydney, so heavily that yani, like rivers on the street and there's so much water and everything, if you decide because you believe that it is too much hardship, you're going to find a parking and there's no parking, and if the musalla that you go to is very hard to find parking, it's going to be extremely difficult, then the Jum'ah will drop. But of course, there is no fine line in this. There is no criteria how many millimeters supposed to be raining and how it's supposed to be like 50 knots, the wind blowing. No, Allahu A'lam. What you need to do, this is according to your iman and to your taqwa. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَاسْتَطَعْتُوا. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. You see, what are you able, and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the end of the day, you pray Jum'ah, or you don't pray Jum'ah, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're dealing with, bottom line. He said, "Aw khawf, if you fear, yani someone is wanted, and if he goes out for Salat al-Jum'ah, they're going to take him or he's going to be arrested. Some tyrant or some gang want him, and he knows if he's going to this musalla or to the masjid, if he's seen, they're going to shoot him dead, that this person does not have to attend Jum'ah and it drops from him. وَإِنْ حَضَرُوهَا, if al-abd or al-mar'a or al-musafir, talking about these three. طيب, أجزأتهم. What do you mean أجزأتهم? يعني the Jum'ah, the Dhuhr drops. Remember, are they obligated, these three, to come? The woman, the slave and the traveler, they're not obligated to come. But if they come, do they have to pray Dhuhr? Or that'll be enough for them?
Enough for them.
Why are we saying this? Because if you're not obligated, what happens? You are obligated to what? To pray? Dhuhr. So if he comes, has that compensated for Dhuhr or not? Because he's not obligated to begin with. We say, yeah, ajza'atum khalas. It would suffice. Here he said, وَلَمْ تَنْعَقِدْ بِهِمْ. And the Jum'ah, they're not calculated as people you can count for Jum'ah. Meaning, the scholars differed about the number of people, the minimum required to establish Salat al-Jum'ah. Some said 2, some said 40, and some said, I think 12, and Allahu A'lam, the number. We'll talk about it. Now, the woman, the traveler, or the slave, it is not they're not counted as part of the number. You see? They're not counted as part of the number. See, let's say you are on the opinion that minimum is 3. You are you and 2 women. You say, okay, women, sit behind the curtain, I'll stand up, give you a khutbah and lead you in Salat al-Jum'ah. We say, no, this you can't do that because they're not part of the number. You have 2 slaves. We say, no. Someone is a traveler. Ibn Qudamah rahmatullah alayhi says, no. Yani you are you, a local, and a bus of Muslims turns up, they're traveling, they're in a bus. So I can come down, we'll do a khutbah here, at this place, at this park, and we pray Jum'ah, and we go, we say no. Ibn Qudamah says, no, you can't count them in that number. You see, he said, وَلَمْ تَنْعَقِدْ بِهِمْ. Why then, I want you to ask me the questions, Akhi, Allah. We've been doing these lessons for how long? That why then the Jum'ah drops from them and the Dhuhr drops from them and the Jum'ah is calculated while they're not? Then you cannot count them in the crowd. Or their number is not part of the minimum, the threshold that you need of people. Yet it is accepted from them.
Because their salat al-Jum'ah is correct because following the residents, the locals, the number. Not as a principle, as followers, not as principles. And if you're local here, you come to Salat al-Jum'ah, you are counted because you are part of the threshold of the number that is needed. Because you are a local here, you meet the requirement. So your number is counted. But if he is a traveler, his salat is correct because he's following the locals. Not because by himself he's counted. You see? Here he said, إِلَّا الْمَعْذُورِ إِذَا حَضَرَهَا وَجَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ وَانْعَقَدَتْ بِهِ. As for the one who is excused because of sickness, rain, or fear, if he attends, then it becomes obligatory on him and also valid by his presence. Now, in ma'thur, like who's the ma'thur who has the excuse? Who is by rain, because of rain, or because of fear, or sickness? Let's say he attended. We say, when you attend, it becomes obligatory on you. Meaning, you traveled from home all the way to the masjid, and then you saw heavy, heavy rain. You say, khalas, you attended, it's obligatory on you. You can't turn back and say, I don't want to attend, it's raining, I'm going to go back. No. Once you reach the masjid, khalas, it became obligatory on you. وَنْعَقَدَتْ بِهِ. And it is, here he said, valid by his presence. Also, وَنْعَقَدَتْ بِهِ, meaning, he is counted from the number that Salat al-Jum'ah. Yani, let's just say you on the opinion that minimum three you need for Salat al-Jum'ah. If there are two sick people arrived and you started the Jum'ah with them, khalas, the Jum'ah is calculated. Why? Because it becomes obligatory. Right. Here he said, also the ones who are excused for not attending Jum'ah, everyone, if he was to be absent, he's going to cause laraha. Let's say a guard who's guarding money and there is no one to look after this money. Meaning, just an example, because we can't differentiate between this and work. Someone who is guarding big amount of money and someone promised him he's going to come and take his shift while he goes pray Jum'ah or something. Yet no one turned up. And if he would leave, the money would get stolen. Then this person at Jum'ah drops. Or a doctor. There is no one to fulfill his shift. No one to fulfill his shift. And if he was to leave, people are going to die and get really sick. So he does not have to go for Jum'ah. Pay attention. What I'm saying, it can be abused easily. People will abuse this easily if they don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people, for example, who are, yani, have this type of jobs, that it'll be a lot of harm. Let's say someone on the watchtower for planes. And if he was to turn away for 5 minutes, plane would land in the wrong runways and he causes a disaster. Now that person, if there is no one to fulfill his shift, then he does not have to pray Friday. And remember, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. And Allah is my witness that I'm not trying to give anyone, because wallahi, these days I get scared. The brothers, how they abuse these fatawi, it's unbelievable. I get scared to talk in some certain issues, fearing that brothers will misunderstand. As for a person who works for a kafir, his job is what? Working. And all work for a Muslim. Because I knew some Muslims, so-called Muslims, all their workers are Muslims, they go for Salat al-Jum'ah, but his workers, he doesn't let them go. Why he doesn't let them go? He's going to look after the shop. You look after the shops, but I'm the boss. Close the shop. Don't go broke. 1 hour? 1 hour you're going to go broke? That's the business then. Wretched is this business if 1 hour over is going to send you broke. But anyway, as for the one who works in a place that don't allow him to pray Friday, that's not an excuse. He must leave work and go find another work. He must find another work that let him pray Jumu'ah. Even if you have to compensate, even if you have to not get paid, tell him, Ya Ammi, Wallahi, some brothers asked me, I said to him, you work as what? He said, I work as a tradesman. So it's simple. How many hours can you work? Say to him, Ya Ammi, for this hour, I'll pay you back double time. Give me that, give me 2 hours lunch. Give me 2 hours lunch so I can go pray Friday and come back, and I'll compensate you 4 hours instead. How about that? You sacrifice for Salat al-Jumu'ah. Don't let it go. Because this is wajib, and you're here in this dunya for Allah, not for work. Keep looking. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And whomever truly fears Allah, Allah will find the way out for him, and he will sustain him from means he never expected. You just have to be patient. Look for work. Worse come to worse. You say, Allah, I have a big family. I can't leave. I said, okay. Then you have one or two Muslim brothers. If there is two or three Muslim brothers, make Jumu'ah in the place that you are. Even though we don't prefer you to do that, but find a place to pray Jumu'ah. And you'll find if you work in the major cities, there's always little pocket musallas everywhere where they hold Jumu'ah. Even, as you know, there are even in Sydney some shops who are owned by Muslims. They make in their backyard small salat Jumu'ah for the workers. And they rotate shift. They do the Jumu'ah like 3 times because the place isn't fit. And in 10, 15 minute khutbah, they pray and they go, another group comes, does a khutbah, salat, and they go and another one. So in 1 hour, 3 Jumu'ah is done. وَمِن شَرْطِ صَحَّتِهَا مَا يَلِي وَمِن شَرْطِ صَحَّتِهَا. The condition of its validity includes فِعْلُهَا فِي وَقْتِهَا, to doing it on time. So, first condition of Salat al-Jumu'ah is to do it when? On time. When is the time of Salat al-Jumu'ah? Waqt al-Jumu'ah, it is the time of Dhuhr. And it starts from the zenith and finish until the shade of everything becomes equal to it. Tayyib. Now, some ulama said also it can be prayed from the time of Duha onwards. Some ulama, they said that Salat al-Jumu'ah can be prayed from the Duha onwards. Doesn't have to be at the time of Zawal. Tayyib, here, for this opinion, which is the Duha onwards, majority of the ahadith, if it is not clear or weak. And also they use a hadith, Jabir, in Sahih Muslim, عن جعفر بن محمد عن أبيه, أنه سأل جابرا متى كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي الجمعة, فقال كان يصلي ثم نذهب إلى جمالنا فنريحها. He asked him, سأل جابر, يعني جعفر بن محمد عن أبيه, he asked جابر رضي الله عنه, when the Messenger of Allah used to pray جمعة, he said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to, he said, كان يصلي, he used to pray, then we used to go to our camels and we make them rest. زاد أحد الشيوخ المسلم حتى تزول حين تزول الشمس. When the sun moves from the zenith. And then others narrated, وغيرهما أن الراوي عن جعفر قال في أي ساعة تلك, يعني جعفر said, what time is that? He said, زوال الشمس. And then here also in another narration the hadith has an adding, في أي ساعة تلك. So here what he's trying to prove, that these words are not the words of Jabir, it is the words of Ja'far. Ja'far, here, pay attention, who is Ja'far? He said, Ja'far bin Muhammad an Abiyah. Yani he is the student of the companion. And that's his words, it's not the words of Jabir radiallahu anhu, that is in Sahih Muslim. As for the Dalil, here, Bukhari narrated عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يصلي الجمعة حين تميل الشمس. The correct opinion is following the hadith in Bukhari, hadith Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pray Jum'ah when the sun, tamil, it moves from its zenith. And that is the correct opinion. As for the second opinion that stated before the zawal, he used to start the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's either not very clear or weak. But salakil, as you see, the hadith of in Muslim, Ja'far bin Muhammad, an Abi Annahu, he asked Jabir, when did the Messenger ﷺ used to pray Jum'ah? He said, كَانَ يُصَلِّي, he used to pray, ثُمَّ نَذْهَبُ إِلَى جِمَالِنَا فَنُرِيحَهَا. Here, the narrator, عن Ja'far, he asked, what time was that? He said, when Zawal al-Shams. So here you see, the issue is, the opinion that are taken before the Zawal, before the time of Dhuhr, it is what? All of it, it's weak, or it's not clear who said what. Because the hadith they use as a dalil, the strongest hadith, it is not really unknown whether this is the word of Jabir or the word of Ja'far. That's why this hadith is doubtful in its meaning. We take what is clear in the meaning, what's clear in the meaning, which is hadith Anas in the Bukhari, and it's clear. طيب. Here he said, أن تقام في قرية, in a village, meaning to be established in a village, place, places where people live, not the Bedouins and the travelers, and so. Yani if people live in the tents out in the desert, they don't have to do Friday. He said, it has to be in a qarya, in a small town, in a small village, that is the minimum. Like, because it is not in the Bedouin, as we explained. وَأَن يَحْضُرَهَا وَأَن يَحْضُرَهَا There is a mistake in my Arabic. وَأَن يَحْضُرَهَا مِنَ الْمُسْتَوْطِنِينَ بِهَا أَرْبَعُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِ وُجُوبِهَا الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْحَلُونَ عَنْهَا He said, and the ones who attended from the resident of that place, from that qarya, 40 men. So 40 men minimum, the shaykh, he said, must attend the salat before we are able to do the salat from the ones who are obligated to pray. Meaning not 20 men and 20 women, 3 men and 37 travelers. No, has to be 40 local from this city or from this town, men who are there. This is on the opinion of the Hanabila. And here he said, أول Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. يعني the dalil why it is 40. Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, أول من صلى بنا الجمعة في نقيع الخضمات أسعد بن زرارة وكنا أربعين. Of course, here he said the Ka'b ibn Malik that the first one who prayed in a Friday in نقيع الخضمات, which is a place in Medina, he said أسعد بن زرارة, and we were 40. And here he derived from this that minimum is 40. We'll see now, inshallah. This is narrated by Ibn Dawood and Isnad Hassan. And of course, this is being debated. Other scholars said that three are enough to establish Salat al-Jum'ah. لِأَنَّ الْجَمْعَ شَرْطٌ لِسَحَّةِ الْجُمْعَةِ بِالْإِجْمَعِ طيب. الْجُمْعَة has to be a congregation to start it. Yani one by himself, he cannot. بِالْإِجْمَعِ by consensus. So, now, what is considered as jama'ah? Two or three? Here, another opinion says it is three. Because there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْ ثَلَاثَةٍ فِي قَرْيَةٍ وَلَا بَدُوا لَا تُقَامُ فِيهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ إِلَّا اسْتَحْوَذَ عَلَيْهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ رَوَاهُ أَبُو دَاوُد طيب, here he said, there is no three in a small town or out in the Badu, in the Badwood. They do not establish the Salat except, yani in Jama'ah, except that the Shaytan has taken control of them. Here he's talking about Salat al-Jama'ah. This includes Salat al-Jum'ah also. This includes what? Salat al-Jum'ah also. Now some said the Jama'ah are two. the jama'ah is two are with them, the jama'ah is established. Let's read the dalil here. Before I read the dalil, I'd like to mention to you something, that this issue, whether the jama'ah congregation is two or three, it is khilaf bayna ulama al-usul. It is a matter of usul al-fiqh, the scholars of principles of jurisprudence. They say, what is the minimum of what you call jama'ah? Is it two or three? And sometimes can go into linguistical debate. The majority, and Imam al-Shawkani said in Irshad al-Fuhul, which is a book four, principle of jurisprudence, أَقَلُّ الْجَمْعِ ثَلَاثَ وَبِهِ قَالَ الْجُمْهُورِ. He said the minimum of jama'ah, plural, jama'ah is a three, and with this, the majority, the vast majority of ulama al-usul al-fiqh, they said it is that opinion. طيب. Here he said, وَقَالَ بِهِ إِبْنُ خَرُوفِ فِي شَرْحِ كِتَابِ سِبَوَيْهِ. He said also that a group of the scholars, one of the main linguists in his commentary on the book of Sibawayh, which is the greatest book in the Arabic language, he said that this is the correct opinion, that minimum is a three. And Imam Rahmatullah alayh, Imam al-Shawkani in Irshad al-Fuhul, he said, and this is the qawl, the saying that is the haq, which is upon it all the majority of Ahlul Lugha and Ahlul Sharia. So this makes it what? Minimum is three. Here he said, also Shaykh al-Islam rahmatullah alayhi said, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi said, وَتَنْعَقِدُ الْجُمْعَةُ بِثَلَاثَةٍ وَاحِدٍ يَخْطُبْ وَاثْنَانِ يَسْتَمِعَانِ. He said rahmatullah alayhi in his book Al-Ikhtiyarat, he said, and the Jum'ah is established by with three. One gives khutbah and two listen. وَهُوَ إِحْدَى الرِّوَيَاتِ عَنْ أَحْمَدٍ. And it is one of the narrations from Ahmad. وَقَوْلُ طَائِفَةٍ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And the words of a big group of the scholars, a group from the scholars. وَقَدْ يُقَالُ بِوُجُوبِهَا عَلَى الْأَرْبَعِينَ لِأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَثْبُتْ وُجُوبُهَا عَلَى مَنْ دُونِهِمْ وَتَصِحُّ مِمَّنْ دُونِهِمْ لِأَنَّهُ إِنْتِقَالُ إِلَىٰ أَعْلَى الْفَرْضَانِ كَالْمَرِينَ. طيب, here he said, and it can be said, it is obligatory upon 40. طيب, لِأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَثْبُتْ وُجُوبُهَا عَلَىٰ مَنْ دُونِهِمْ. Because it is not being affirmed that it is obligatory on lesser than 40. طيب, وَتَصَحُّ مِمَّنْ دُونِهِمْ. And it is accepted and correct from less than 40, because it is moving from the higher of two obligations, like the sick. What he's saying, Shaykh al-Islam. Shaykh al-Islam, it's never been narrated that less than 40, they have to do Jumu'ah. But it is accepted from them. It is what? Accepted from them. لِأَنَّهُمْ تِقَالْ because someone is moving from the higher of two obligations, like the sick. The sick, he can do the bare minimum, but if he does more, it is accepted from him. So he said it is accepted from them. The correct opinion and the bottom line, ya ikhwa, that Ahlul Lugha, the people of Lugha, the language, the linguist, and the people of Ash-Shara, yani Ahlul Sharia, as Imam al-Shawkani, he said, the vast majority, minimum for Salat al-Jama'ah or Jum'ah is three. Tayyib, that will take us to a point. That what about me and my friend, we want to pray Jama'ah? Not Jum'ah, not Friday, just Jama'ah. We say, you pray, but this is not the Jama'ah that is the 27 multiplication or the 25 multiplication. Mafhum ya shabab? Fine. So you do minimum three, but you meant to attend where? The masjid. And all the masajid, of course, more than three. But we're talking in a case that you could not attend the masajid, then minimum is 3. أو أن يتقدمها خطبتين. Also from the condition of it, he said that being preceded by 2 sermons, it has to be 2 خطب. يعني first khutbah and the second khutbah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously will do 2 khutab of khutab al-jumu'ah. Why the khutab are prerequisite? Meaning, let's say someone turned up, we turned up to make a jumu'ah, we didn't do the khutbah and we prayed 2 rak'at. Is this jumu'ah accepted? He said, no. One of the prerequisites of you allowed to pray 2 rak'at jumu'ah instead of dhuhr is to have 2 khutab. Why? First, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. طيب. If it is called for Salat al-Jumu'ah, go to and isa, walk, run, haste to, or go to Salat al-Jumu'ah. If here the dalil, if the sa'i is wajib, then that means Salat al-Jumu'ah and the khutbah is wajibah. And the ulama said, as we mentioned last week, as soon as the imam ascends the minbar, all the buying and selling becomes not allowed. So you see here, he ascends the minbar, that means the khutbah is obligate, the khutbah is a prerequisite condition. The second dalil that the Prophet ﷺ forbade talking while the imam is giving khutbah. I mean, it is what? Also condition. Taib, which is obligatory to listen to it. If it is obligatory to listen to it, that means it's an obligation from the obligations. Which means it is a condition and must. Taib. And it is the goal of the Jumu'ah. And one of the important objectives is to listen to it so you can get the benefit and the maw'idah. And if it did not have 2 khutab, it become like any other salat. If they didn't have the khutbah of Salat al-Jum'ah, first khutbah and second khutbah, it becomes like what? Like any other salat. Here he said, في كل خطبة حمد لله تعالى. He said, he talked about the khutbah, he said that in each of which there is the praise of Allah. So he has to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in each khutbah. So if someone says, إِنَّ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, did he give praise to Allah? No, he didn't. Why? Because there is ism inna and khabar inna. He made al-hamd and Allah khabar inna. And we do not know who's the praise going to after that. It's a grammatical mistake. It's a disaster. Because if you do not say إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ يعني, then the khabar إِنَّ, the khabar of it was Allah. And the ism that you are trying to affirm the khabar to is يعني إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ. طيب. Where is ism inna alhamd? And the khabar to whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Who you are giving the hamd to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say inna alhamdu lillah, like some of the khatib, the hamd goes to whom? Not to Allah anymore. You understand? Of course, it caused a disaster. So he's saying here, if there is no hamd, I'm just giving you a hint. Yani, I'm not there. But if he is giving the hamd here, it doesn't go for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each khutbah must the hamd be to whom? Each khutbah you have to have hamd lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the hadith. Yani it is has some da'af in it. كُلُّ أَمْرٍ لَا يَبْدَأُ بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ أَبْتَرْ. Every matter that does not start bihamdillah, it is karaf, meaning every speech. And this is, of course, since the hadith is da'if, the action, the continuous action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of something necessitates that it is important and not should be, uh, not not supposed to be neglected. And he said, وَالصَّلَاةُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So from the etiquettes of the khutbah is to say, الصَّلَاةُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. To send blessings on his messenger. Because every ibadah needs the salat upon the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you see, all the ibadat has the salat on the Prophet, whether it is adhan, iqamah, tashahhud, salat, everything has yani salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. What more can you think of? We have raised your praising. Every time you mention La ilaha illallah, you mention Muhammad Rasulullah. Inna salat, inna adhan. What more dhikr? So, no matter what these majahil, hamir, unhuman, midget in their brains, they attack Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you still, it's enough that 5 times a day in every masjid on the microphone we say Muhammad Rasulullah. And let it burn in your heart. Ya kafir, ya adu Allah. Wa qira'atu ayah, and to read a verse. طيب. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is narrated in Sahih Muslim, عن جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه كان للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبتان يجلس بينهما يقرأ القرآن ويذكر الناس. He said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had 2 khutbah. He sits in between them, reads the Quran and reminds the people. So here he said to read the Quran. And a group of ulama, they said these 3 things, which is what? Saying Alhamdulillah. What else? As-salatu ala rasul. And reading ayah, it is mustahab. It's not obligatory. Mustahab, because there is no clear dalil that the Prophet ﷺ ordered. But we say, since the Prophet ﷺ, that was his continuous act, and he never left it, so we have to keep following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and adhere to it. One maw'idha is, and the recital of a verse from the Quran and an exhortation or advice, and to give advice. So the khutbah, the aim of it is to give a nasiha and advice. And the Prophet ﷺ, as the hadith we mentioned, Samura, he'll give an advice that is muraqqiqa, softener to the ones who are attending, reminding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remind them of the taqwa of Allah, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to speak about the issues the people need. The people need. Yani some brothers, they go to a book of khutab, and they open the book of khutab. That doesn't matter for a beginner, yani, but he opens a book of khutab, and as a joke narrated, some people said they witnessed that, some brothers who don't know yani much knowledge, so he went to a book that is written long time ago, at the time of the Turks, book of khutab. That as any English student who was a beginner, he takes the khutbah. And of course, in the days of the khulafa, they used to always make sure some of the dua goes to the Khalifa. So he's reading after even collapsing the Khalifa. He read it with the dua. Allahumma, Allahumma, oh Allah, protect an Imam Murad. This one, the Khalifa Allah. He was saying, Ameen. Imam Murad, man died long time ago. Subhanallah al-Azim. But this is some of the calamities. In reality, he needs, the Khatib needs to speak about the affairs of the people. The affairs are into two. Either there is a political affairs that relate to major issues of the Ummah, we ask the beginners not to get involved in these things, so they don't get themselves into trouble. I mean, in the trouble that saying the wrong things that could mislead the people, while he understands the issues of wala and bara according to his understanding, and then misleads the people. We say talk about the issues of the people always. One of the problems that the Khatib speaks about irrelevant issues in everything. Like how many khutbah we hear about at-tawbah. The tawbah is a very important concept. We live to be min at-ta'ibin and at-tawabin. Always the khutbah need to be a maw'idah to remind the people, and also to give direction to the people, as we spoke about last week. One of the aims is to direct the people in their daily life. Also, وَيُسْتَحَبُّ أَن يَخْطُبَ عَلَى مِنْبَرٍ. it is preferable to give the sermon on from a minbar, raised pulpit, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as in Bukhari and Muslim, they used to ascend a minbar and give the khutbah. So it is a sunnah. Now, if you are, for example, a lot of the places in the schools or places giving khutbah, there is no pulpit, he gives khutbah standing, you find it is more powerful to always give it higher. The khatib gets more powerful in the khutbah. So if they can put small boxes or something for the khatib to stand on to remind the people, it's important. Something, inshallah, will continue. Inshallah, how does he conduct the khutbah, inshallah. Subhanakallahu bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.